Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to episode 3 of Ready to Pop, the ultimate pregnancy podcast with me, Caroline Foran. Now for this episode, I am joined by a good friend who happens to be the greatest nutritional expert I think I've ever known, and I just love her for her no-frills approach. She says it like it is, and it's Dr. Orla Walsh. Orla is a dietitian, she's also a mum herself, and for this episode we are talking all things nutrition and pregnancy. So what can you eat? What can't you eat? How to cope with symptoms such as heartburn? What do you need to ensure you're getting enough of in your diet, and so much more? This episode is proudly sponsored by Pregnacare, which is a supplement I have been taking since day one. I've been on Pregnacare Max, which offers the ultimate formula in the range for mums-to-be who want the maximum nutritional support from Pregnacare. This advanced formula helps to safeguard daily intake of nutrients important during pregnancy, providing 400 micrograms of folic acid, incorporating the special readily bioavailable L-methylfolate, together with other essential vitamins and minerals including vitamin D, calcium and omega-3. Vitabiotics Pregnacare also have a new exciting gummy form with 17 nutrients, which are handy as an alternative to tablets for those of you who maybe have difficulty in swallowing tablets or simply just prefer a chewable tablet. And of course, they are all available in pharmacies nationwide, in store and online. It's so important to ensure that you're getting the right vitamins and minerals throughout your pregnancy, not just for the baby, but also for you. So be sure to follow me on Instagram as well at Caroline Foran, where I'll be giving one lucky listener of this series a chance to win the ultimate Pregnacare hamper, and you'll be all sorted. And enjoy the episode.
Orla, thank you so much for joining me on Ready to Pop, which is, I'm getting used to saying it now, it's my new pregnancy podcast series that will take listeners, whether they're expecting now or whether they're planning to have a baby, from fertility right through to preparing for labour. As you know, I'm currently up the duff. You've been through it before.
Yeah.
You've popped, and it wasn't that long ago. How old is your baby now?
He's 11 months. Well, he's 11 and a half, so he'll be a year at the end of the month.
Oh, very emotional.
I know, for yeah. Year.
That means I haven't seen you in so long, which is actually crazy.
Yeah, because we recorded a podcast together and I was so, so pregnant.
You were so pregnant. I think you were sitting on a medicine ball or something. I was just... I remember you were just like, I need to keep breathing for like
struggling
water and
to
toilet.
Breathe. And I was like, and you brought me up flights of stairs.
Oh,
I was
so
like,
sorry.
Yeah, right before we recorded. Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, thankfully now... you get to like return the favor, and so it's all ahead of me.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're a dietitian and nutritionist, and all the other letters at the end of your name that I can't pronounce. And I'm so happy that we were able to sit down, because I think something that people are, when it comes to pregnancy, are probably blissfully unaware of until they get pregnant is the impact of pregnancy on the gut and knowing really what to do when it comes to nutrition and diet and all that. So there's so much I want to ask you. Obviously, you've been so kind to me. I've been like DMing you since day one being like, why the hell is this happening to me? And you've just explained so many things to me that I just would not have been aware of. So I suppose if we go back to the beginning of a pregnancy for anyone, so was the first thing that people want to know, I guess, before they've really had any symptoms, or maybe the morning sickness hasn't hit them, if it's going to, is like, okay, what can I eat? What can't I eat now being pregnant?
Okay, so like the do's and don'ts of pregnancy. I suppose that rule number one is food safety. So that's where a lot of it comes from. It's simply, we don't want pregnant people to get sick because their immune systems are lower. And also some of the bugs that they can get sick from might impact the baby. So we don't want that either.
Okay.
So it's very much food safety. So there's a lot of washing hands, washing the fridge, storing things correctly, all
need
of that.
I wash my fridge.
I know. I was like... have I washed my fridge? And that's why, you know, for example, you have to cook eggs until they're hard boiled.
Okay.
You know, the runny eggs are out because of salmonella risk.
Right. Okay. I have not been doing that to hard boiled. I just thought that they couldn't be raw.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah.
Like scrambled eggs?
Oh, yeah, they're fine.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, you scramble them well. So I'm going to go through this list and your face will
drop
with
freak.
Some of the moments where you'll be like, oh, damn.
Okay, well, I'm still alive, so we're going to go for it.
So the cheese, so for example, the cheese with the white rind around it, or the mold kind of blue cheese. So you can't have that. You can have it though, it's a piping hot. So I loved blue cheese. So like I would make soup and I put loads of blue cheese in it, so I'd still get the blue cheese flavour and everything. Mm-hmm. I love it that much. Then you have to be careful with dairy so that you're always going for the pasteurised stuff. Most dairy is pasteurised, but you just... It's just if you're getting it from a farm or a market, they might give you raw or unpasteurized. But it is a good habit to get into, to be checking the labels.
Okay.
Then with fish, like most fish is absolutely grand. You just need to be careful with oily fish that you're having it once a week generally. The rules will be changing on salmon too, that you might be able to have salmon more often, which is really the oily fish people eat quite a lot. I crave so much fish, so I lived on fish. Mm. But people steer away from shellfish when they don't need to, and they just
need
to be careful. Yeah, they just need to be careful with how they cook it. Okay. In terms of a food safety point of view. Yeah, so stay away from sushi as well. With the tins of tuna, depends where you're listening. So the UK guidelines are less than 4 tins a week. Irish guidelines are less than 2. But if you're getting to say a sandwich went out, that would be like you would get half a tin in a sandwich usually.
Okay. I saw actually Millie McIntosh, she's been documenting her pregnancy, and she was having a lovely meal, and there was prawns in her dish in the picture, and I saw all the comments were like, you're so irresponsible having prawns. And I was like, first of all, I'm terrified of ever posting anything to do with my baby. But second of all, they're cooked. That's fine, right?
Oh, yeah.
People, she knows. Like, we know.
People are totally nasty. I had prawns all the time. Yeah, no, it's just about cooking them well enough.
Okay.
The ones that people don't know about, though, are the two kind of areas where there's going to be much more bacteria than you think in those foods would be coleslaw. Right. So, you know, coleslaw from a deli is out. And the one that people often don't know about, and it was the biggest giveaway of when they had an ice cream van at a wedding. I didn't go for the 99. But luckily everyone thought it was because I was a dietitian. But truth was, we're not supposed to be having 99s out of the vans as well.
Okay.
So that's gutting. Not only out of the vans, but out of shops, and 99s are pretty much out.
Right,
for the pregnancy.
This is fine for me because I'm lactose intolerant.
Oh, yeah.
So I haven't been having any. And
you wouldn't pop a lactase enzyme for 99.
No, even you mentioning blue cheese there, I'm not over my morning sickness. So I just can't imagine putting anything that smells like feet into my mouth. Is that the bulk of the do's and don'ts?
It's the bulk of them. In terms of meat, you know, even though... you know, rare steak is probably fine, they do recommend just cooking it through.
Okay.
So that's the bulk of them.
And like if you were having minced meat, you'd cook that through anyway, because that's recommended.
Yeah, it'd be recommended anyway, but when pregnant, definitely.
So it's more so that, I mean, we all face the same risk of getting food poisoning. You just don't want to get it when you're pregnant, because it might be a risk to the baby.
Yeah.
It's not that having a bit of and your immune will necessarily system, make you vomit or anything.
But your immune system is down as well, so you're more likely to get sick from it then.
Right.
You know, if you weren't.
Okay.
So it's a double whammy thing.
Okay. Then let's talk through the first trimester, which I'll be doing a whole separate episode on coping with that, because I found it incredibly tough. I know you did too. And even beyond the first trimester, which is, you kind of think that you'll get to week 12 and be like, I'm a new woman, and it doesn't necessarily happen that way. But when it comes to diet and nutrition, and I suppose we had been working together with me as a client of yours before that, and I had gotten to such a good place with my gut and my...
Yeah.
I was doing low FODMAP and I was feeling really well. And then all of a sudden, I wasn't able to eat anything because I was so sick, and I was barely getting a ginger nut or a cracker into me.
Yeah.
And just trying to keep stuff down and trying to survive. In that first period of time, I think people can maybe get a bit panicked that they're not getting nutrition for the baby or for them. Is it a matter of just surviving at that point?
Oh, absolutely. And I think people, like, the mom guilt really starts at conception, I think, because people have these notions that as soon as they get pregnant, they're just going to eat so well. And especially if they ate well beforehand, and they'll be like, they're devastated then when the symptoms kick in and all they can consume is yogurt and fruit or something.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, that wouldn't be too bad. I was like, I can just keep chicken nuggets down. If that helps.
Yeah, and salt and vinegar crisps was my thing as well.
Oh my God, yeah.
I couldn't have enough vinegar. So, yeah, no, it is. So the baby will, it's horrible to describe it as a parasite, but it is. It will take everything it needs,
that's
and it's
it
you
like
who
sometimes
suffers. So, what I would encourage people to just remind themselves is the baby's getting everything it needs. Like, yeah, you are suffering, but hopefully you'll have stores and you can replenish afterwards. And although it's not ideal, any food is good food at that time.
And the baby's getting everything it needs from your blood, right? So it's not actually taking like your bit of broccoli and
having a
chew away. No, because then, it wouldn't. We'd be taking it all from the blood. Okay. So that's why you have to be careful with alcohol as well. And that's why you can't drink alcohol when pregnant. During the first 3 months, like for a lot of women, it's just a case of survival because they're more tired than maybe they've ever felt before. Mm-hmm. The constant nausea as well, and that kind of, and it peaks and troughs at the time. Like sometimes it's like low grade nausea all the time, and then these horrible moments where it's just,
you can't even look at the TV or you can't even speak. It's unbearable. And I found, what I found really frustrating about the first trimester was that whenever I felt like I could eat, I only wanted to eat like salty, carby stuff. So like I would have like, you know, some pizza without cheese, or I would have a whole ciabatta bread or something. And I was like, I know I'm a conscious, healthy eater normally. And it's, I feel like I don't, this is not really me, but I have to only tolerate what I can tolerate. But do you think it's fair to say that there's plenty of time as your pregnancy progresses to kind of get back to some level of healthy eating?
Oh, of course. And some people never get there, but their babies are born perfectly healthy and they're healthy after. So ideally, you know, as soon as you're feeling well enough, you'd bring things back in. But you can also, like, I was fine, for example, with yogurt and fruit. And I was thinking, okay, well, I'm not getting all the veg I normally get, but I'm getting the fruit in. I could take veg in through soup, and things that were colder were much easier for me. So, you know, I was freezing my yogurts and having them. So there are kind of ways and means to eat well by kind of tricking the nausea. So I think that's very variable for a lot of people. I bought an air fryer and everything went into the air fryer, and like I had chips every night. All I wanted was chips in the first 3 months, and vinegar. All I couldn't, like the chips were floating towards me. So I got an air fryer, and like the chips are in there, but I would put in onions and peppers and make a kind of a homemade spice bag, if you will. I had that nearly most nights because it was the only thing that I could think of that I could have, you know. So It is a case of survival. You know, I find it very hard because my job is talking about food all day long. So I was extremely nauseous and I had to talk about poo and food.
Oh, gosh.
But, you know, everyone has their own troubles, because then there's people who are nauseous and working in hospitals with all the smells and stuff. So, you know, everyone has their own challenges. But
I mean, I was very lucky myself in that I worked for myself. I was able to kind of hold myself up at home and avoid.
But then you have time to think of it. And you've
well, that's true. Some of my friends said, like, I was like, how did you cope being in an office? And they were like, you just have,
no choice.
You've got no choice. And maybe when you're not overanalyzing every moment of how you feel, it gets a little bit easier. So I guess there was the not eating, or the barely eating the crackers and stuff. And for me, I needed to eat, like, do that in the middle of the night as well. Like, it was crazy.
Little and often, answer your body. You go, your belly will tell you what it can hold. And your cravings are usually a good guide. So if you feel like the only thing I can manage right now is toast, dry toast, then absolutely, that's what it is, or crackers. People find that dry foods, cold foods, plain foods are a really good idea, as well as eating regularly. And most people, it's very much carbs they're craving. They're not only craving carbs because it's, you know, they're very palatable, but also because their energy is so low and they find themselves snoozing on the couch by 8 p.m. at night, you know, and going to bed mad early.
So there is a greater reason behind your desire for carbs than just, I'm pregnant now, I get to just eat them all.
Exactly.
The guilt.
Well, ginger does help. So I'd encourage people as well to maybe focus on ginger, putting ginger in foods. I found ginger oat cakes really good. And I had ginger cordial, which I put into cold fizzy water. And I'd sip that throughout the day in clinic, and that really kept me going.
Okay.
There was an element of sugar within it, which was helpful. Not great for my teeth in the long run, but I was talking about survival.
Yeah.
But the ginger was good for nausea, and it has been proven to be good for nausea.
Another thing for me then was when I was kind of, I guess, getting to a point of the sickness not being so bad, but I was still in the early days, was the volume that I had to start eating. It was like, I didn't have a stomach. Food was just going in and falling out. Like, I couldn't get this any feeling of satisfaction. I didn't enjoy any food anyway. I was kind of thinking maybe it was, I think I said this to you, maybe it was like heartburn or indigestion masking as hunger. But I remember thinking before I was pregnant, oh, like, I'm not going to be one of those people who like says they eat for two when you don't need to. But I literally would panic if I left the house without snacks, which I did this morning, and because I just have to put something in my mouth every 10. I mean, I couldn't go half an hour without it. Is that okay as well, to be like consuming an awful lot more than you're used to?
So if you're hungry, you know, answer your body and eat.
Don't deny it.
Don't deny it. But at the same time, maybe take a step back and go, why am I hungry? It could be the pregnancy hormones. but it could also be the fact that you're going for carb rich foods and foods with that are low in fiber, like crackers or maybe white toast or something. And if there's they're low fiber carbohydrates, they're going to go into your belly and go into your blood within 30 minutes. So they're not going to give you any element of satiety for a long time. The other thing is you're lacking that protein aspect. So the two things to keep you full are protein and fiber. So if you put in an element of protein, would then your meal, would you be able to go for longer, maybe 2 or 3 hours without eating? So it can be a sign of, if you're just using, eating kind of quick release carbs all the time, then you're not going to be fully satisfied.
Stuck in a rush of thinking that you need to keep doing that. But really it's about changing what you're eating. Yeah, I definitely lack the protein element in the early days.
And it can be hard because people can go off eggs and go off meat.
I definitely went off meat, yeah.
Yeah, I went off eggs. I went off meat. The only thing I'd really comfortably have was chicken and fish and dairy, so that they were my main protein sources. And then with the fiber, I was just trying to get as fruit I could have, unlimited fruit,
yeah.
So I was getting fiber in through that way. But sometimes it's a case of putting chia seeds or linseeds or something into things.
Fiber is something I very very quickly had to like up the ante on, and I'm supposed to be having a lot of it anyway because of my sort of history with my gut and having a slightly more sluggish system. But before we get into why fibre is important and how to maybe introduce it if you haven't had enough of it already, can you give me an overview of what's happening in the body when we're pregnant, which requires that, like with the hormones involved that slows down the gut?
Yeah, so there's a lot of hormonal changes and they can happen so quick. So I was nauseous before I missed a period. So right. I was nauseous from 3 weeks. So I was away in Italy and I was sick and I didn't know why. And I hadn't missed a period yet. And I didn't get a positive pregnancy test for another 10 days after that. So you can feel very sick. Some people find that initially they get diarrhea and they're just explosive diarrhea all the time. And then it kind of goes to more constipation. So progesterone slows down the contraction of the gut and it tends to slow down gut movements. So people can get quite constipated, especially initially as the progesterone's rising.
Is that rising steadily from conception right through?
Yeah, so it is rising. It kind of depends when you conceived and stuff like that, or what point it's like maxing or, growing exponentially. But it is the thing that decreases the gut contractions and slows things down. So the other issue is that the womb uterus is getting bigger and preparing for having a baby, and it's right down there where the colon is, or the large bowel, and it's in your hip bones nearly. So it's super duper low, so everything's squished against each other. So the uterus is getting bigger and it's pushing against the large intestine, and again, so you're getting constipated because the progesterone is slowing the gut movements, and all maybe because of food choice as well.
Maybe you haven't been eating in the
anything like you were before, and then that womb is pushing against the large intestine. So people even find that that they need to poo, but they're struggling with that aspect.
Yeah.
Then when the uterus moves up more towards the second trimester, people get the constipation can relieve for a lot of people. Also because they're feeling a little bit better, sometimes, not always, that their food choice improves. So they're eating more fruit and veg and whole grains and things. And again, then the constipation can resolve.
Okay. And the progesterone slowing the gut down, I mean, for me, I was like, why does it have to do this? But it's so that the baby can get all the nutrients. Like if it's going slow enough, it can extract nutrients, is that right?
Yeah, that's certainly one of the reasons, the main reason. Your body wants to absorb as much as possible from the food and as much of the nutrients as possible. So the baby will, like I say, take everything that needs from you. And, the leftovers or the stores go to us. And that's why a lot of people find that taking a multi-mineral and multivitamin gives them a safety blanket, if you will, that their food choice isn't what it usually is, but if they take that vitamin mineral pill, that they're at least getting those micronutrients in.
Okay, so it's like an insurance policy, really.
Now the thing is that firstly you have to take one specific for pregnancy because you don't want it to have vitamin A in it, because that's toxic to the baby in large amounts. The other thing is that people find that it constipates them and they don't take it. What I'd encourage people to do is take it every other day or every 3 days. It's because the iron can slow down the gut and irritate the gut. Our body's clever. It doesn't want to have suffer from iron toxicity. So what happens is we take a pill in. It might contain iron or it might be just an iron supplement. Our body will absorb it. Then our body's clever. It releases this thing to stop any more being absorbed because it doesn't want to suffer from iron toxicity because that's really bad for the liver and bad for the body. So when we take the pill the next day, then it's the absorption has been blocked by this thing. So then the iron is left over in the gut. When it's left over in the gut, that's when it irritates it. So by taking it every second day or every third day, what's happening is you're not taking it when the iron is blocked. So you're absorbing it when the body can absorb it. So for those people that find that the iron is irritating their gut, they might take the iron every second day or every third day, and then in between that, take their folic acid and vitamin D.
And how would they know if it's the iron that's irritating their gut?
I suppose trial and error, like even what I was saying with you was just try it. So yeah. Take your multimineral, multivitamin every second day, and then every second day take folic acid and vitamin D. And if that improves things, then you know that the iron was exacerbating the gut or else causing some gut issues. There are nutrients that women tend to not consume enough of during pregnancy. Some of them they don't, you know, they might not know of. So for example, women might not take in enough iodine. So around 50% of Irish women were seen to not take in enough iodine during pregnancy. So one in two. Iodine is something we generally get, well, we get around half of our iodine from dairy. So half of that from kind of milk and yogurt and cheese, and the rest from plants and fish if we eat it. The main sources really are dairy and fish. You can get it through seaweed, but I don't think Irish people
want to eat that much seaweed.
So that is a nutrient that other countries would actually encourage people to supplement during pregnancy. So in Ireland, we don't yet. We might. But in other countries, they certainly do put that on the list. The other thing is choline. So choline is a really important nutrient, and it works. It has loads of jobs, but it works together with folic acid to prevent neural tube defects. There's choline found in meat, poultry and eggs. And so there's choline found in meat, poultry and eggs. So if you're eating those foods, then you're probably getting enough. But if you're vegetarian or vegan, you might consider supplementing that as well.
Okay. You mentioned DHA.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. So the omega-3s found in oily fish are EPA and DHA. And they're structurally different to the omega-3s found in plants, such as chia seeds, flax seeds, rapeseed oil. That omega-3 is called ALA. So it's structurally different and it acts differently in the body. We know that the EPA and DHA found in omega-3 are found in oily fish are really important for us. The DHA in particular is especially important with babies and development, such as their eyes and their brain. And that's why pregnancy supplements, you know, would contain DHA, and the omega-3 that you're offered with that supplement would contain a lot of DHA. Now, it doesn't mean the other two aren't important. It's just a lot of research is behind that DHA. EPA is and DHA are usually found in another omega-3. So just say if someone was taking multimineral, multivitamin by a different brand, they might take an omega-3 as well if they feel that they're not getting enough through fish or they're not stomaching fish at that time.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Okay.
And they're a really good idea. The plant omega-3s are different. So if someone doesn't eat oily fish, or if they don't eat it because they don't like it or exclude it for whatever reason, then they do need to supplement with an EPA and DHA omega-3. So if they're comfortable taking a fish oil supplement, that's probably a good idea. If they're not comfortable taking a fish oil supplement, they'll need to get it from an omega-3 found in algae. So for example, if someone was on is a vegan, they would need an omega-3 from algae.
Okay. So in terms of what to avoid your raw fish, making sure things are cooked, vitamin A internally is not, it's not okay. But
that's why you have to avoid liver, yeah.
Liver, okay. I mean, that's no hassle for me anyway, because that is absolutely vile.
Even pate?
No.
Oh, okay. Ugh. So you have to avoid pate. I was disappointed
by
that.
I have the palate of a child, I think, which has helped me. So far,
the nutrients that are incredibly important during pregnancy, it's not to say that the others aren't important, but iron, because your blood volume increases so much during pregnancy that you actually need iron to make the red blood cells. You need vitamin B12 and folic acid as well. So again, to make the red blood cells, but folic acid as well to prevent neural tube defects. Mm-hmm. And you need to take folic acid for the entire pregnancy.
Yeah.
You need vitamin D because most of us don't get enough anyway. And we need that little bit more. So you need maybe 5 micrograms per day, if not 10 micrograms per day, especially between October and March, because again, those times when you're in Ireland or England, that you're not actually producing enough vitamin D through the sun.
Then looking at the food you take in, let's assuming you've gone past the first trimester, you've just managed to survive, that's fine, don't worry about whatever you manage to get in and keep down then, and you've had the insurance policy of your supplement perhaps. Then when you're feeling well, you want to kind of, I guess, play catch up, and now that's where I'm at now, so I'm like, tell me what to eat. So I want to be making sure I'm getting oily fish how many times per week?
Oily fish once a week, and then there's no real limit on white fish and shellfish, so you can enjoy them a lot. When it comes to tuna though, 2 tins a week.
I absolutely hate tuna.
What?
So I hate it.
That's so weird. Have you ever heard of toilet paper tuna?
No.
Apparently they did it in during war times, where they had tuna, and it was made tuna in oil now, not in brine. And they put 2 pieces of toilet paper on top of it and pushed it into the tin and lit the 4 corners. And you let it burn until it burns out, and then you peel off the toilet paper. And on top, the tuna is real crispy and it's smoked underneath.
Is this you selling it to me?
Yeah. I love toilet paper tuna.
That is
your
the name alone is so appetizing.
Yeah, okay. I should come up with another
alternative name. If like I wasn't stomaching fish or wasn't feeling like it.
There's really no alternative to fish, especially the oily fish. So if you're not having oily fish.
So vegans are kind of probably a little bit more compromised during pregnancy then.
They need to be very careful with their diet all the time, because when you cut out things like oily fish and there's no real alternative, then you do need to bring in supplements. Yes.
Okay. And then fibre.
So fibre is incredibly important, and 80% of Irish people aren't getting enough. So if you're listening, you're probably one of them.
Yeah.
Statistically speaking.
I had my linseed this morning. That's
good. I know you, but you become so on top of it during pregnancy if you're suffering from constipation as well. So you're aiming for around 30 grams a day, and you'd be surprised in some ways how hard that is to achieve unless you know of the foods that are super high in it. So for example, fruit and veg typically per serving has maybe 1 to 3 grams of fibre, depending on what it is.
Pretty low then.
Yeah, nuts and seeds generally have 1 gram of fibre per serve. Carbohydrates, whole grain carbohydrates, tend to have 4 grams per serve. Okay. Rice is less though, so even brown rice might have 1 gram per serve, while basmati white rice would have 0 grams per serve.
Okay.
So when you look at it there, you're thinking, oh dear, how on earth am I going to get 30 grams? So you just want to actually know of the foods that are super high. So the foods that would be super high would be of the fruits. It would certainly be mango, pears and berries. So they tend to have 4 or 5 grams per serve. So they tend to have anywhere between 2 to 4 times the amount of fibre of other fruits. In terms of plants, then beans, peas and lentils are super high. Mm-hmm. So To put it into something that people can visualize, that small tin of baked beans would have 10 grams of fiber.
Wow.
So it's quite a lot. It's a third of your fiber intake.
Then that's going to give you a whole other set of problems to deal with.
Not everyone is. You're just highlighting it that it makes you fart. Then in the nuts and seeds, the seeds that are really high would be the likes of linseed, aka flaxseed, and chia seeds. So they tend to have anywhere between 4 to 8 times the amount of fiber than other seeds.
And you want to get your soluble and your insoluble fiber.
Yeah.
So can you just explain the difference?
Insoluble fiber is the fiber that is like the roughage. It's rough to touch. It's the seeds and pips of and skins of fruit and veg. It's the whole grains.
It's the linseed that survived through my dishwasher.
Did it?
Well, I have to like scrape them off my bowl.
I know you do. And it really sticks. So the insoluble fiber, is the job of that is to increase the stool size. Well, right. One of the jobs. The soluble fiber is the gel-like fiber. So that softens the stool and makes it easier
like
to
pass. Like
hair
conditioner for your poo.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Isn't
I'm going to use that again.
Do. I'm going to apologise also to our producer at the moment who's having a lovely ear full of poo talk.
It's when me and you get together.
I know, there's no stopping us.
And
yeah, hair conditioner. My mom always says, oh, it's like giving you silky poos. So it just slides right out.
Oh my God, I'm going to quote your mom.
Do.
So soluble fiber is the hair conditioner for your poo. So it softens the poo and makes it easier to pass. So that would be chia seeds, linseeds, oats, barley, beans, peas and lentils.
Okay.
So that's really important because you don't want to, if the poo is hard, it might be a sign that you're not getting enough soluble fiber. And if it's dry, it also means you might not be getting enough water.
Okay. So a nice high fiber breakfast then, you want to make sure you have your oats perhaps with your linseed, maybe some berries, and then
or mango or pear, are exceptionally high. But when I think people give breakfast cereals a bad name.
Yeah.
You know, they're not all. You know, some of them are like candy. I'm not American. I don't know why you say candy. But so what you need to do is you need to look at the back of the pack, and it says in the nutritional information, it says the sugar content, and you're ideally looking for less than 5 grams per 100 grams, or at least close to that.
Okay.
But the main one is you're looking for the fiber content and you're looking for greater than 6 grams per 100 grams.
Okay.
So again, I have to be careful with brands, but you know the sticks made in bran?
Yes, I know them.
And so they would have 3 times the fiber content of nearly every other cereal.
Right, and I think they're vile as well, but then you recommended that there's like a cluster version of them as
well.
Yeah,
that's lower in sugar as well.
Yeah, okay.
So I sent you a picture of that. Yeah, because again, if you're suffering with constipation in pregnancy, it's so you feel so sluggish and so minging. So people would be delighted with
that. Yeah, it's the worst. Okay, and then managing the symptoms outside of the diet you consume, if constipation is really, you're like nothing's happening at all, would you recommend like anything that helps that along in terms of like...
So what I'd encourage people to do is also think of other things that are really important for the gut, such as drinking enough water. So we need around 35 milliliters for every kilogram that we weigh each day. So most of us need more than 2 liters. So that's important. When you're looking at how hydrated you are, there's 3 things you need to look at. So is my pee nice and clear? So you want it really the colour of straw. Am I producing a good volume, and am I peeing regularly? So in pregnancy, you pee regularly anyway, but volume is important. So are you doing this little piddly pee, or if you were to count in Mississippi's, does it take at least 4 Mississippi's to pee? Like that sort of volume. Yes. Yeah, like 1 Mississippi, 2 Mississippi.
Mississippi? You say Mississippi Lee?
Yeah.
That's cute. You're adding more time onto your pee there.
I am, yeah certainly. Okay. So at least 4 Mississippi's.
Okay. And you mentioned sugar there as well, just briefly before we move on. Are you trying to... I know we're supposed to all be conscious of the sugar intake, but I find being pregnant, I'm gravitating more towards it, I guess, out of comfort. Just keep an eye.
But you might not for the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, for example, I was dog tired in the first 3 months. I couldn't... And it was because I'm self-employed, so I was working so many hours and I didn't have enough time to reduce my hours yet. So it takes around 3 months for me to change my diary so there was less hours. So yeah, I was finding myself for the first, like, I have a savory tooth, like, not sweet tooth at all, and I had Skittles in my drawer. Damn it, I said a brand. But there were things that I was having just to keep myself going, certainly.
Maybe there was Starburst, maybe there was some other brand we can think of.
Haribo.
Oh my god, I was Haribo mad for a while. The white jelly bit of the, you know, the little fried egg bit.
You actually,
oh my god,
I'd say eating them, you were a bit of a minger as well. I'd say you were picking them apart, were you?
Not really, no, I just was like, the whole bag is gone. It's like one of those Share cinema bags as well.
Oh yeah, but poor, like, Barry, you know, didn't get a look.
I know. It's like, I'm not eating for two, I'm eating for what feels like seven. I was convinced I was having more than one because of the volume of how much I was, how hungry I was.
I was convinced I was having more than one because I was, and my bump was huge. So like, my bump, I really bumped out by like 4 or 5 months. Like, I had a huge bump really early and it just got bigger and bigger and bigger.
Yeah, I feel like on the subject of bumps, mine kind of comes and goes. Like, it seems to be there in the evening and I'm like, is that just like a big poo needing to happen, or is that...
There's an element of food pushing it out, certainly. Right, okay. And but you will pop, and it is relatively quickly. I went to Denmark with my mom, and on the Friday I didn't really have a bump, and I came home on the Sunday and I had a bump.
Okay, and it's when it pops, it's kind of always there. It's not just like, because mine like comes out and goes back in. And
yeah, because walking to the airport on the Sunday, I remember thinking, I look so pregnant right now, and I didn't on the Friday. Right. Like, on the Friday, I just, you know, I felt a bit, but on the Sunday, yeah, I certainly had a big bump, and it grew and grew and grew. So much so that actually I was like, are you sure there's not twins in there? But I did, because if you have, just say, a family history of type 2 diabetes, or your mom had gestational diabetes, or you have a medical history yourself of PCOS, polycystic ovarian syndrome, it is a good idea to be tested for gestational diabetes, as well as if your BMI is over 30.
That was news to me, that you can just develop diabetes while pregnant and then it'll go when you're not anymore.
Yeah, now it does put you at greater risk of type 2 diabetes later and stuff. But it's a good idea to get checked. So every hospital has different rules. So you're usually checked after 20 weeks. And what happens is you go in fasting, which is a nightmare pregnant. I remember fasting for a few hours was just mental. Mm. And you go in having fasted. They take your bloods. Then they give you this drink. You have the drink. They check your bloods an hour later and then 2 hours later. And they just want to see that your body's still able to control your blood sugar levels.
Okay.
If your body isn't, then you might need to change your diet. If that doesn't work, you might need to go on medications. But gestational diabetes can put you at increased risk of lots of things, including having a giant baby.
Okay.
Now, I had a giant baby anyway, but it had nothing to do with my I didn't have gestational diabetes.
Okay.
He was 9 pounds, 4 kilos.
Okay.
But my husband's massive. So it was always going to happen,
Another massive thing that I have yet to really confront, but that is such a problem for pregnant women, is indigestion and heartburn. Oh, yeah. Is there a difference between indigestion and heartburn?
So not really. So the thing is that when it's super severe, it feels like a heart
attack. Yeah, okay.
Really.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of people going in on Christmas Day thinking they're having a heart attack and it's just heartburn.
Wow.
It's unbelievable in A&E. But so what's happening is that the baby is pushing up on the belly, right? And there's not the same room for food as you go on. Like, when because I had such a big bump, like, I could, you know, I had to eat small and often because there wasn't the volume, like, the space there for all of us. You know, my body was far too small for my baby. So the thing is that the food basically in your tummy gets pushed up. Your tummy is quite acidic, so it's going up the food pipe and it's burning the food pipe.
And is that also because the valve that normally keeps food in your belly, once it goes through the pipe, is a bit more relaxed? So it's
So there's all of that going on.
Okay, and that's because of the progesterone.
Yeah, and then the baby could be kicking, or they might have their head still up there, or when they turn down, they're kicking, or putting their knees up there, and the food is anyway. So. That, and because digestion's a lot slower, what happens is, especially when we lie down, the food and the acidy food basically and the acid from our belly goes up into our food pipe and it burns and that hurts. So that's why pregnant women are more at risk of heartburn and indigestion. And some people suffer really, really badly. So one of the best things you can do is just elevate the mattress a little bit.
Yeah.
Often people say sleep with two pillows or something, but if you're not used to that, then you won't get a good night's sleep. So it's important then to put maybe a cushion under the mattress where your head is, or a few towels, and just bring up the mattress a little bit. And that will just elevate your head a bit, and just to have your head a little bit above where your belly is.
And then other triggers or things to avoid if your heartburn is really bad?
I suppose that the easiest way to think of it, firstly, eating too fast. So you're going to get heartburn if you eat too fast, certainly, because you're not digesting your food well enough. So you need to mechanically break down your food into lots of tiny bits, and you do that with your teeth. So the food has to be chewed lots, so that when it goes into the belly doesn't have as much work to do.
Okay.
Now, the other thing is that because it burns the food pipe a little bit, it's kind of like having an open wound as such. Mm-hmm. So if you were to picture having a cut on your hand, what wouldn't you hold in your hand? So if someone would say, here, listen, hold my chili, you wouldn't. You'd be like, no, that will really hurt my hand.
Okay.
Or you wouldn't put vinegar on it, or you wouldn't peel an orange. So you have to think, okay, if it hurt the cut on my hand, it will probably hurt my food pipe going down. So they tend to be quite citrusy things, or vinegar or chili, or, you know, those sorts of things. Some people find the coffee makes it worse, but what you don't want to do is slow down digestion even more, especially last thing at night. So you want to avoid big meals, because you'll probably get heartburn from that, and you want to avoid very rich meals. So one of my friends, I remember the end of her pregnancy having a chipper, and she thought she was going to die, like, because the high fat meal takes ages to digest.
Okay.
So she was rolling around all night.
So fried foods, that kind of thing, probably isn't.
But if you do suffer from reflux, my friend did so, so badly. And interestingly, her little baby did as well. But she, in her hospital where she gave birth, they didn't have any medications to give her. So her husband had to run out to the local pharmacy to get her. I think it was Gaviscon or something, or any brand.
Or Remy, or whatever.
Yeah, and to when she was in labour, because her reflux was so bad in labour. Okay. And her labour, if you were to ask her about it, she would bring up the reflux, because that was just
the
worst part for her, yeah.
Wow, and with all that indigestion and heartburn, and as awful as it can feel, is there anything to be concerned about, or is it just a symptom of pregnancy? I mean, it's not doing any damage.
No, usually when you give birth, it goes away. If it doesn't, then what you need to do is go back to your GP. You might be put on medications for a while, or you should go to see a dietitian and to get guided on what you shouldn't. Just to allow the symptoms to go away and then to heal back up the food pipe, so it doesn't happen again.
After you've had the baby, is it to be expected that your gut is a little bit out of whack because you've passed a pumpkin through your whole system?
Yeah, I think, well, okay, so if you suffer from reflux, you definitely need the thing that you find useful in your bag with you, in your delivery bag. But everyone needs in their delivery bag, as far as I'm concerned, linseeds and maybe dried mango or stuff to help you poo. The first poo after giving birth is one that brings a lot of fear. You worry about it so much, because...
What's one to remember?
It is one to remember. You don't want things to be sluggish. Things might be sluggish because of pain medication as well.
Oh,
so you just want it an easy poo to pass, because your vagina's in ribbons.
Seriously, like, why is something so natural and the reason we're all here so hard for women to do?
Well, firstly, your body's clever, so you just forget about all the challenging bits.
To make you do it again.
Like, nearly immediately, I wanted another baby as well, because it was so magic. It's so worth it. I think, apart from anything else, you just have to realise that it is such a privilege, and the lengths other women might be going through to get to where you are.
Yeah.
Like, you just need to remember that. So all the challenging moments, you just need to remember it's an absolute privilege to be pregnant. And to be having a baby, hopefully you're happy to be having it. It is so challenging at all the different bits, like even the discomfort at the end, or if you suffer insomnia like I did, or, you know, all those bits. And it does, I found the baby easier out than in.
Well, that's reassuring.
But I
think that's probably people are more afraid of what
happens
then.
I think because they're thinking, I'm finding pregnancy so challenging. What the hell am I going to be like as a mum? But you've got the biggest reward at the end. Mm-hmm. And it's funny, like, you'll be there in the middle of the night 20 minutes trying to get this baby to burp, and they will burp, and you might as well have been sprinkled with gold. It is the most rewarding thing. Or they will have a poo explosion and you'll be cleaning off behind their ears and they giggle, and all of a sudden the whole last week even is worth it. So yeah, there's such a wonderful reward system there that you'll want to do. It's nearly addictive.
I think it's so important, because when you're, especially earlier on in pregnancy, you don't look pregnant. You don't, you know, maybe you haven't told anybody yet. Yeah, if you're listening, like, in the first trimester,
you might not feel the kicks.
You don't feel it. You just feel crap, like, or you just feel the symptoms. So it's hard to be excited, and it's hard to be able to say, oh, it'll be so worth it, because you don't know yet.
Yeah.
Like, what that will feel like. You don't know the baby, you don't know the person, you don't have that, like, bond, that love. So I think it's just something you need to trust that your perspective on how hard it might have been will balance out.
Yeah, and be sound to yourself. Like, realistically, it's okay to not feel anything yet.
You don't have to love pregnancy, like.
And you don't have to love it. You can find it challenging. Some people find it dead easy, and sure, some people find everything dead easy.
Yeah.
And have no symptoms. You just need to have a mantra in your head. And, you know, for mine, it was simply, you know, this is what you've always wanted. And it's an absolute privilege.
Yeah, absolutely. Is there anything else, just as a reminder or like a top tip, just to be mindful of when it comes to the gut and nutrition or diet with pregnancy, before we let you go?
The only other thing that, when we were talking, that I was like, oh, I forgot to say, is that some women need to take a higher dose of folic acid. Okay. So they need to ask their GP or their midwife or their consultant to, you know, whether or not they are in that category. So, for example, if there was a family history of neural tube defects, or if you've type 2 diabetes or type 1 diabetes, maybe epilepsy, some medications. Or if you're obese, as per the BMI scale, you might need to take a higher dose of folic acid. So just be sure to ask.
And they can find that out with a test or something?
No, they just simply ask. And if you're in one of those categories, every hospital is different in terms of their guidelines, what I found out recently. But you just need to ask, and they'll say whether or not you have to take that higher dose of folic acid.
Orla Walsh, dietitian, so that is your surname. Thank you so much for joining me on Ready to Pop. It has been a privilege to hear all of your incredible insights, and I'm going to listen back myself and take all the notes and go home and try and force some toilet paper tuna into my mouth. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.